Welcome to Bedhampton Church. Contact us at www.bedhampton.church. But for now, let's continue that journey with this input.
Some, if not most of you, will know that last weekend, Chris and I took Lucas to Cardiff to see Monster Jam. Again, some, if not most of you, will know what Monster Jam is, because you will have heard me talk about it lots. But for those of you that don't, Monster Jam is a motorsport event featuring giant £12,000 trucks doing things that giant trucks should not be able to do, flipping through the air, balancing on two wheels, twisting at impossible angles, while thousands of people scream in delight. If you've never been, it's a very strange experience, and Lucas was unsurprisingly in heaven. At one point, a truck launched into a backflip, spun 30 feet in the air, and landed safely again, and the whole arena erupted because they all knew they had just seen something extraordinary. Now, I expect right about now you're wondering what on earth Monster Jam has to do with Pentecost. Well, Pentecost is the most ordinary moment that human beings begin to do things, spiritually speaking, that they should not be able to do. Frightened people become courageous. Divided people become united. Ordinary people become bearers of the presence of God. Something extraordinary happens. Or perhaps more acutely, something extraordinary arrives. Over the last few months, we've been exploring the Holy Spirit through our various sermon series, The Familiar Stranger and others. We've reflected on how God is often both known and mysterious at the same time. And I think nowhere is that tension stronger than with the Holy Spirit, because the Spirit can feel elusive. In the Gospels, we encounter Jesus face to face, speaking, teaching, eating with people. But the Spirit is wind and breath and fire and movement. The Spirit is deeply personal and also impossible to control. In the scriptures, the Spirit consistently arrives in ways that disrupt expectations. The Spirit is that familiar stranger, known through experience, but yet not fully contained. And our readings today show us something profound about who the Spirit is and what the Spirit does. In John's Gospel, the disciples are hiding behind locked doors. That detail matters. John wants us to feel the fear in the room. These are not heroic founders of the church yet. They are just traumatized disciples. And honestly, I think most of us know what that locked room sort of faith feels like. Moments when fear narrows our world, when grief exhausts us, where disappointment makes us retreat inwards, when anxiety bolts the door from the inside. Sometimes we lock doors because life hurts. And what strikes me so deeply in this passage is that Jesus comes into that locked room before the disciples have got themselves sorted out. He doesn't wait for them to become brave. He doesn't stand outside saying, "Once you've pulled yourself together, I'll come in." He simply just appears among them. "Peace be with you," he says. Not condemnation, not disappointment, but peace. What grace. And then comes this remarkable moment. He breathes on them and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." The author of the Gospel of John is doing theology here. The word breathed appeared very deliberately. It echoes Genesis 2, when God breathes life into Adam. This is new creation. John is telling us that through the resurrection, God is recreating humanity. The Spirit is not an optional extra for particularly enthusiastic Christians. The Spirit is the very life of new creation. Without the Spirit, the church is just a frightened group gathered behind locked doors. The Spirit is what transforms the disciples from a fearful community into resurrection people. So perhaps the reason that Jesus breathes on them is because breath is both ordinary and essential. A lot of the time, we only notice breathing when we struggle to do it, climbing stairs, or when we're panicked or grief or illness. Breath is usually invisible, but absolutely vital. And perhaps that's exactly the point. The Holy Spirit is not simply dramatic moments or emotional experiences, but the Spirit is the breath of the Christian life itself. The unseen presence of God sustaining his people moment by moment. One of the great illustrations of modern life is that we are self-sufficient. We admire competence, independence, and having it all together all the time. We're encouraged to believe that we should be able to cope alone. But Pentecost confronts that illusion. The disciples cannot sustain courage through sheer determination. They cannot create peace for themselves. They cannot transform fear into faith by just trying harder. They need the Spirit of God, and so do we. Then we have our reading from Acts 2. The same Spirit who came quietly as breath arrives publicly as wind and fire. Suddenly there is noise and movement and chaos. And again, none of this is random. The rushing wind recalls the breath of God moving over creation. The fire recalls Sinai, the presence of God descending on his people. But perhaps most importantly, Pentecost reverses the story of Babel. In Genesis 11, humanity's pride leads to division and scattered languages. Humanity tries to make a name for itself apart from God. But at Pentecost, God doesn't erase difference. He speaks through it. People from every nation hear the gospel in their own language. The miracle is not uniformity. The miracle is unity in diversity. The Spirit does not make everyone the same. The Spirit creates one people from many peoples. And that matters deeply today, because the church has always attempted to either towards division or towards sameness. But Pentecost says that the kingdom of God is neither. The Spirit holds people together without erasing who they are. And then Peter stands up. Peter, which honestly should encourage us all enormously. This is the same Peter who denied Jesus 3 times. He now stands before the crowd speaking boldness. What's changed? Not Peter's personality, but Spirit. And Peter quotes the prophet Joel, "I will pour out my Spirit on all people." That little word, all, again, matters. In the Old Testament, the Spirit was often associated with particular people for particular tasks, prophets, priests, kings. But Pentecost gets rid of all of that. Sons and daughters prophesy. Young see visions, old see dreams. The Spirit is poured out extravagantly. The church is not sustained by the charisma of a few gifted leaders. The church becomes a Spirit-filled community when every person matters. Now, Monster Jam theology is probably not yet recognised as a theological discipline, but watching those trucks over the weekend did make me wonder about power, because those trucks can do extraordinary things. Not because they are naturally capable of doing them on their own, but but because of what is operating within them. You cannot see the engine directly, but you can absolutely see its effects. In the same way, the work of the Spirit is often recognised by transformation. Courage where there is fear, hope where there's despair, forgiveness where there's bitterness, unity where there's division. The Spirit produces resurrection life in people who could never generate it themselves. And perhaps that's important for us to hear today, because many of us are tired. We know what it's like to feel spiritually flat, to feel as though we've been trying to live the Christian life under our own strength and battling against society. But Pentecost reminds us that the church was never meant to run purely on human effort. The Spirit is not just comfort on those difficult days, but is the empowering presence of God himself. So when we put our two readings together, in John the disciples look at locked doors because they are afraid. In Acts, the Spirit pushes the church outwards into the world. Maybe that is this challenge still of Pentecost, because churches can sometimes feel like locked rooms, locked by fear or habit or anxiety for the future. But the Holy Spirit has a habit of opening doors that we would rather keep shut, calling us outwards, calling us deeper, calling us beyond ourselves. He remains the familiar stranger, closer than we realise, and more powerful than we expect, and more unsettling than we perhaps sometimes prefer. So perhaps Pentecost is inviting you and me not to simply admire what happened a long time ago, but to ask what locked doors in us still need opening. Where is God trying to breathe new life? And where might the Spirit still want to surprise us? Amen.
You have been listening to Bedhampton Church. Our prayer is that this helps you journey with Jesus and serve your community by sharing God's love and friendship. Subscribe and join us for more discussion at www.bedhampton.church. All material Creative Commons copyright. Contact us for more details.